Connecticut is preparing for phase two of its reopening on Wednesday. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Hospitalizations have been on a downward trend.
Good.
But how's it going in the hospital? Dr. Ron Clark, MD, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus, on the phone. He's also author of Surviving the Emergency Room. From the ER and hospital perspective, Doc, are we ready for phase two?
I think that we are, Chaz. I think that, as you said, the hospitalizations are declining. I think right now there's like 205 people that are hospitalized in Connecticut. I do think we're ready to start opening up. I think with a smart plan, this will start to work. And again, I think it's important that people still socially distance and wash their hands and do all the things that they've been doing. But I do feel like it's time and it's safe for things to open back up.
I find it weird that we didn't have any spikes in Connecticut after the casinos opened or the protests.
I think that the virus is dying down is what I think. I think that...
Now, what do you mean by that?
That's nice.
So when people got the virus at the beginning of this, their viral loads were very high and they were very contagious. You can still obviously get it, but the viral loads of the people who get it now are less, which means that they're shedding less virus, which means people are less likely to get it.
What does that mean? How does that happen?
When the virus attacks the body, it replicates, and over time, that replication can cause the shedding of the virus to be more severe. And in this case, I believe that the virus is dying off just because people are, some are already exposed. Those that aren't exposed are washing their hands and doing the right things. And I just think that the virulence of the virus is less. That's what people think now.
That's great.
Right. No place to go. Yeah.
So my thought was most of us have come in contact with this thing, right? When you think about how it went from a province in China to just leveling New York City, to think that we haven't somehow just walked into it or through it or touched it. Or
somehow, yeah.
Somehow.
Some shape or form.
What do you think about that?
Right. I think that's true. If people got the antibody testing that's available, a lot of people would be exposed and have a titer, meaning that they were exposed in the past that they didn't know. That's true. I think that many people are going to have it. Hopefully, a lot of people did get it. And then that way, when it comes back next year, it'll be less severe. And the same with this whole second wave theory of worried about the virus to come back again. If a lot of people have already been exposed to it, the severity of it should be less.
So the coming back, so first it has to go away to come back. And, there was some discussion that, well, it's like the flu and it's hard to, the air gets heavier in the summer and it doesn't transfer as much, blah, blah, blah. Is there evidence of that? Because there are spikes in Texas, Florida, Arizona. So I think the hot air doesn't really...
That theory
doesn't really hold water in those states.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we've been lucky in Connecticut that we didn't get a spike when these other things opened. And again, I think it's because people are being careful and they're washing their hands and they're doing good hygiene techniques and just being smart and still kind of socially distancing to the sense that a lot of people now stay in little pods of people. You have your family.
You almost got used to it by now, yeah.
Yeah, you get a couple of close friends, and that's kind of your pod. So you're kind of exposed to that group of people. But when you go out, people are, washing their hands and doing all kinds of things that they weren't doing before. And hopefully those things continue so that, it doesn't get worse again in Connecticut. But again, just like the flu season comes and goes, that comes and goes every year. Last year when we just had the flu and we didn't have coronavirus, this flu season came and the flu season went, and then we expect it to come back again.
Right.
The coronavirus may be very similar. It's a cousin of the flu, kind of, you think of it for just a different kind of virus. And again, viruses usually burn themselves out, and we're hoping that this burns out, permanently, but that's probably not going to be the case. The case is going to be that the coronavirus will be a virus that'll be here.
So we have a vaccine, and that's not going to be something that works on 100% of the people. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Although they're working as hard as they can on the vaccine. And again, the vaccine does have a lot of promise to be completed sometime either the end of the year or beginning of next year, which is phenomenal for vaccines that usually take 4, 5, 6, 7 years to
lightning speed
to get done. So which is great. And again, I think people are ready to have things open. And again, when you go to the phase two, which is coming up in a couple of days, you know, hotels will be open, indoor dining, libraries, gyms, so I can go back to the gym, amusement park, those kinds of things. But I do feel like, for example, like when I go back to the gym, when I leave the gym, I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to have Purell in the car. I usually do anyways. That's just because I'm a doc and I'm used to washing my hands and just part of my routine. But most people didn't do that before. They go to the gym, they work out, they come home and, you know, maybe they could shower and stuff. But,
and maybe they didn't wipe down the equipment.
Right.
You know?
I always do, yep.
So
yeah,
there's now, a whole different awareness now.
It's a different awareness, and I think that that's a permanent awareness. I think people who have these things that they're doing now of Purelling and, you know, washing their hands and those kinds of things, that those are permanent. The most people won't go back to saying, no, I'm not going to wash my hands.
So Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus on. Ashley?
So in the fall, you're saying potentially we can see a resurgence of both the flu and coronavirus potentially at the same time. And then since I think we still don't know how long the antibodies stay in your system, does the titer stay in your system? Like how does that work?
So the first question with the two viruses, it's potential that they can both be here at the same time. Yes, and you know they were here at the same time when we started testing at the beginning of all this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, people just really didn't care about the flu as much. They were really focused on the coronavirus, but a lot of flu was also here, and again, we just didn't test for it as much at the beginning when we were testing for coronavirus. We were also testing for the flu. It was a panel that just kind of came together when I ordered it on my computer system. But the chances of both of them being here in the fall are high. The question is, how bad is it going to be? Are people going to, have already had those antibodies, which you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the antibodies confer immunity in most cases with viruses, but with the coronavirus, this COVID-19, it's only been here since 2019. A lot of the research on that is going to be 5 years from now, looking back. We're in the middle of it. We're kind of the guinea pigs, and this is going to be something that'll be in the history books, that, you know, people look back at this pandemic and determine, you know, what the antibodies mean. Right now, people don't know. Everyone has a titer. We have people at my hospital, the healthcare workers are getting screened for antibodies, but so anybody else can get screened as well. And again, if your titer is 0.3, what does that mean? If your titer is 5, what does that mean? Right now, people don't know if it confers 100% immunity. It should, just similar to like a chicken pox. When I was a kid, I got the chicken pox, so I shouldn't get the chicken pox again. And with this coronavirus, people aren't sure yet if those antibodies are going to confer 100% immunity. Hopefully they do, because if they do, that'll lower the chances of this getting much worse.
I'm looking forward to looking back at this 100 years from now, because I'll still be alive.
Right, and, of course.
You know, because we look back at the one 100 years ago, and, you know, they were debating for, you know, months, like, should we have this public water cup? Because it's water, so it's washing.
It'll wash it away.
Oh,
and I know that one of the things that we did that's going to stick out, like, how do they even talk about this was, do we wear the mask? Do we not wear the mask? Like, that was for a month.
Exactly.
Should we wear masks? Every press conference. It's like, well, pretty obvious now, isn't
exactly,
it?
Yeah.
Like, I'm no scientist, but I knew that then.
Right.
AJ?
Doc, you mentioned you go to the gym. I'm getting ready to start the gym also now. What precautions are you going to take when you go to the gym? You're going to wear gloves, a mask. I know you're going to sanitize, wash your hands afterwards, but in the gym while you're there, what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, are you going to wear a mask when you're in the gym?
It's a
Do you have
ball.
To?
I think some places you might have to.
Yeah, I think.
So look it up, AJ.
I think I will. I think the one thing that I'll do that I usually don't do before is I'll wipe down the machine before I use it, or even like the free weights and things like that I use. Man, in the old, you just pick them up off the rack and start going, and now I think.
And then you had to clean them when you were done,
right?
Because that was a courtesy.
Exactly right.
Now I'm gonna double clean. I'm gonna clean them at the beginning, and then I use them and clean them at the end. Wear the mask. I, I, I think just, you know, be aware of other people around there and, you know, not stand too close to other people, especially if you're heavy breathing and those kinds of things.
They're going to be taking temperatures.
Yep.
They're going to be wiping it down. They're going to have, like, you know, the germ police walking around doing stuff.
Hopefully, yeah.
It's going to be way safer than any other time you've gone in there.
Right.
Correct.
The
right.
germ police.
The germ police. The germ police.
That's right. All right. So here's a sign that coronavirus is starting to settle down. I have a question for you that's non-coronavirus related.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. So Jennifer, about 10 years ago, was clipping her dog's collar and got the tip of her pinky pinched by it. She got a blood blister, never went away, 10 years. So over the weekend, the blood blister opened up, not open like with the skin,
right?
But just the tip of her finger became purple. Yeah,
it's purple.
It's purple. That's exactly
that's
what
more happened. Like
she said. Yes,
it's purple.
She showed me.
It's purple.
Yeah,
right.
And we don't know what to do.
How big is it?
Well, now it's the whole tip of her pinky. It's just purple. The whole tip of her fingers, purple, and like
the front and the back,
like swollen.
This
like,
is an easy one. Just like, cut it right off.
It's like purple and nail.
It was debated.
Yeah. I would probably leave it alone, Chaz. Only in the sense that you don't let AJ cut it open, but the I would probably just leave it alone.
As but should she go see someone? That was really the debate.
Will the body reabsorb that?
Yeah.
And who do you see really?
You can see a hand doctor or primary care doctor.
Hand doctor.
Either one. As long as when you push on her nails and stuff, the other side is fine. Like as far as it goes. You know, pink. When you push down on the nail beds, that she has good capillary refill there.
Yeah,
because right. it's just the pulp of her finger, like the undersurface of the finger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would leave it be. I don't think she needs to see anybody unless it starts to be painful or starts, you know,
like she was fingerprinted.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, the last time we talked to you. You sounded like that person in the science fiction movie who, like, they record their last video before the space
station. Like Blair Witch Project,
Before we lost connection with the space
seemed
station.
Seemed a little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right.
I was not in a great place the last couple times I've talked to you. And, again, I was working almost every day. And just in the midst of all of it, it was, for all healthcare workers, I mean, I speak for myself, obviously, but for all the healthcare workers that are in this every day, putting on the gear, going in, get their temperature checked, put on their mask, go to work for 9 or 10 hours or whatever. Yeah. I think over the months that this was going on, I mean, I had some bad days, Chaz. I had days where people were coming in unresponsive. I was intubating them left and right, like just over and over and over, 9, 8, 9, 10 people, really bad days. And then you go in the next day and do the same thing over and over and over again. And I feel like, you know, for the healthcare workers, it's going to take a little time to recover from all that. But, again, we're on the right side. And, again, a couple months ago when we started talking about this, I was always hoping to get to a day like today where you could announce, you know, the cases are decreasing and this is starting to go away.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice in this tone.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Calm.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
Thank you.
He's got a book out called Surviving the Emergency Room, which is a great, if you're a parent, read through this because, you know, you really don't have time when there's an emergency in the house. Hey, let me look that
book.
Let
me read through this real quickly. Chapter 17.
It's just great information to know. Dr. Ron Clark, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus.
Chaz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. State police spent last Thursday searching an Avon property in connection with the disappearance of Jennifer Farber Dulos. It's on Skyview Drive. I don't know if you've seen the house.
Beautiful house,
God.
Yep.
The owner of that property is on the phone now. David Ford, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Morning. Good. Thanks for coming on. Take us through the whole process here. How did you meet that? So Fotis and Jennifer lived in that house, right?
Yeah, they were renting it from the previous owner when I bought it, and they were moving out at the time when I was closing on the house.
Okay, and so they never owned the house they were renting?
Yeah, they never owned the house. And again, this was back in October or September of 2010.
Okay.
Going back a ways, yeah.
All right. And were they in between houses, or why would they be renting if he's a home developer?
I have no idea. I don't know why they were or why they weren't. I didn't know anything about them.
Right. And then, all right, so that seems pretty simple. They're moving out. You're moving in. Hi and goodbye.
Correct.
Not a lot of contact.
Two ships in the night. I mean, I met him, and I met her at the time. You know, and they both seem fairly, they both seem nice enough.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, he didn't have horns out of his head.
Yeah, no red flags.
You can't spot the devil.
Yeah, no.
You know?
Exactly.
Well, it's interesting you would say that. I read a lot of books on crazy stuff, true crime stuff, and one of the guys is Ted Bundy, which is really what made him most fascinating, is that people couldn't see the horns and the tail from him, as crazy as he was, or Richard Ramirez, when I just got done his book, and you had the most interesting facet of that book to me was the number of women who were contacting him on San Quentin's death row wanting to marry him when the things he did to women were just unthinkable. But anyways, back to Dulos. No, he looked like a regular guy, and she looked like a regular mom trying to take care of kids.
Right. So they move out, and then let's fast forward to your next contact with him.
Oh, my next contact with him would have been probably around 2015. I had just bought a house on the Farmington River, and I was tubing with my then five-year-old, maybe 4 or 5-year-old kid. We were tubing down the Farmington River, and after a while, he got cold, and we hadn't gone to the meeting place where my significant other was going to pick us up. So we kind of went to the shore, went up a bank, and ended up at this water ski park in Avon. And if you know anything about the Dulos case, that was kind of famous because they dredged it because they thought he might have disposed of a body there. But in any event, in 2015, again, this is 4 years before the woman went missing, we were walking down a road there, and a truck pulled up, and it happened to be Fotis Dulos. And he said, "Hey, I remember you. Don't you remember me? I was living in the house before you bought it." I said, "Oh, okay." He said, "Can I give you a ride?" And he actually gave us a ride home. So that was my next interaction with Fotis Dulos.
And and then he seems nice. He's doing a good deed.
Exactly, yeah.
Small talk.
Correct. No red flags, yeah.
No red flags. So then fast forward to January 3rd, 2018, the house that you've seen on the news has a fire sprinkler system in it. And I don't know if you remember it or not, but there was the coldest polar vortex in Connecticut history back then with several days of sub-zero temperatures.
Yeah.
And the sprinkler pipe in the attic froze and burst.
Oops.
And it deluged water throughout the entire home. So
were you living in it at the time?
No, I was selling it at the time, and it was, you know, days before the closing.
Oh, that's the worst.
Good timing. Good timing. Yeah.
What was it?
So I was in the mind frame of okay, this chapter's done. This house is gone. Now I can get rid of it. At the time, I had 7 different houses.
Hold on. We got a side note here. You're an attorney. What kind of attorney are you?
No. That's not what I do. I own a consulting firm. I retired a long time ago.
But gotcha.
The consulting firm was helping people save money on their yellow pages, which sounds like the most nothing innocuous thing you could possibly do, but it was a niche market.
It's
where
brilliant.
I could literally go into any business in the country and save them $5,000 to $10,000 a year. And we did, except one day I got a call from a hospital that said, "Geez, can you help us?" And understand, I charged 50% of what I saved these people for 3 years because they benefited from the savings for years. And so I charged them for 3, and they had the savings forever. So in any event, I got a call from a hospital, and they said, can you help us? I said, "Well, you're a hospital. What do you spend?" "Oh, we spend $125,000. I said, "Whoa, you spend $125,000 a year?" And they said, "No, a month."
Oh, my God.
Ding, 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 ding. Jackpot.
So, get me a house.
I went in there, and I saved them about $1 million in about an hour. And then I said, wait a minute. So then I went to the Mayo Clinic, worked with them, the Cleveland Clinic, worked with them, Dana-Farber, Brigham and Women's, Mass General, Hartford Health System, you name it, University of Southern California Health Systems, Stanford Health Systems, University of Kentucky, Texas, Sloan Kettering, MD Anderson, National Children's Hospital, every hospital in Hawaii. I mean, I could go anywhere at any time and work at a hospital.
By the time you got to Hawaii, you're like, you want to go to Hawaii?
Right.
Well, vacation. Let's just go because that'll be fun.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, the reason I went to Hawaii was to figure out, okay, I know it works here in New England. Let's take the most remote place there is and see if it works there.
Wow.
And so I went to Hawaii for 6 weeks. It actually worked with, I remember one was Castle Healthcare System, and then I worked with, interestingly enough, a bunch of banks, Bank of Hawaii, Island Bank, and another bank. And after, 6 days, I had saved these folks about $7.5 million.
And you got 50% of that for 3 years?
3 years.
Yeah, Jesus.
I mean, when you do the math, you realize that, okay, at that time, I was maybe 33, 34 years old.
Damn.
Hi, I'm 30. Well, how are you?
Yeah, yeah, living fat big time,
that is,
man.
Tremendous.
That's wild.
Okay. No, I never lived fat like that. Never. I mean, even now, I drive a Ford F-150, and I have a pretty modest house, and I changed that lifestyle because that's a lifestyle that can get out of control really quick.
Well, that Avon house, now I could see, because, you know, you're talking on the news Thursday about letting the police come and search it, and they could do whatever they want. They can rip anything open. And now, one, I understand because the money that you have, like, you're not like, oh, my God, I don't know how I'm going to eat tomorrow.
Right.
And then the other part is the thing had a water pipe break, and it's been in a state of disrepair for a long time. Talking to David Ford, he owns the Avon house that the cops were checking for Jennifer Doulos on Thursday.
Look, so, it's a lot different to let the cops come in the home that you're living in.
Right.
You don't want them in your stuff. You know, they're going in every drawer. You know, everybody's got stuff in drawers they don't really want. Not that it's illegal, but stuff you don't want them to see.
Yeah, right. Personal like, stuff.
You know, use your own imagination.
That holy underwear.
Like what?
You know, yeah, exactly. Your underwear or my pink thong. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. It's only on Sundays.
I have one of those. Yeah.
All right. So 2010, you see the Doulos is leaving the place that you're buying. And then 2015, he gives you a ride. And then 2018...
The pipe bursts. All right. So the caretaker who was taking care of the house at the time, you have to understand that house is overwhelming to take care of.
It's huge. What is the square footage? 25,000?
Yeah, well, 25,000, but that includes an indoor NBA-sized basketball court.
Damn.
Wow.
So the court is, whatever it is, 54 by 110.
Wow.
That's spectacular. That I did because, it doesn't matter why I did it, but I would have games for kids in there all the time.
I'm guessing with the money you had, you would just pay professional players to come and like, hey, I'm having a party.
Right.
You know,
you play for
let's get
home.
Shaq over here and a couple of his buddies.
No.
Is that Larry Bird?
No. What happened was I had these guys who would just, we'd come over and we'd play pickup games five-on-five-on-five, and we'd do that every pretty much Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday for about 8 years. And then people need to understand that Father Time is undefeated.
Yes.
And now it turned into every time I was playing, I was pulling something. And for some reason, where at one time I was one of the younger guys, I now miraculously became one of the older guys. And you just can't compete with that. And the last thing I want to do is tear Achilles. So I still let the guys play, even though I don't.
But now you coach.
Yeah, you go and
I don't even go. I don't even coach. Now they can play. I mean, look, it's a nice place. They're good guys. There's no arguing. There's none of the stuff you would get at an L.A. fitness gym where you have people screaming at each other for over a foul or an out of bounds. No, these guys are good guys. It's like, okay, your ball, let's play. And they just want to play. And it's like 5:30 in the morning till 7 in the morning. It's great. Matter of fact, nice. They might be playing now.
Well,
so.
But anyways, back to Doulos. So, in January 3rd, the pipe bursts, and I come into the home. I look, and it looked like Jumanji in the scene in Jumanji when the water's in the house. It was, it was overwhelming.
Raging river, yes.
It was crazy, and one of these drying ServPro, wasn't ServPro, but a ServPro type like company. They come over, and the guy's like, well, we got to rip this floor out. We got to take this wall out. We got to rip this down. I'm saying, wait a minute. Hold on. Before we start ripping stuff down, because all I can hear is doing it, an insurance company coming in. What'd you do that for? Why didn't you wait? So I called the insurance company, and they said, no, wait till our adjuster come out there. And the adjuster doesn't come out for 11 days. So it just sits in water for
Oh, my God.
Black mold, the whole nine yards.
And then they come out, and they say, yeah, the finished floors are destroyed. Yeah, all the subfloors are ruined because they called them vertical pieces that the water sat on. So those are going to have to go. We're going to take out wall by wall as we go this process. And I'm sitting there saying, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I had hired, my caretaker said, why don't you hire this four group? Because, you know, they'd be very good at this. They handle houses of this magnitude. So I did. I had Fotis Doulos come in. And he was great to, he was great to deal with. And Parvel. You know, Parvel. Parvel's the guy who the police suspect that Fotis cut his hair and wore clothes and drove his car down to New Canaan to look like Parvel to try to set him up for the murder. That was a worker of his.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
So, but he was, Parvel is a great guy, a very stand-up guy. So they come in and they do the demolition. And the demolition takes place January, February, and March of 2018. And they had, they pulled a building permit with the town to get that demolition done. So that's done in about 3 months. Meanwhile, the insurance company wanted me to store all this stuff in pods in the front of the house. Doorknobs, sinks, toilets, cabinets, vanities, it's lighting incredible. Fixtures, all this not stuff that's wrecked. But they wanted it to be stored. And Fotis Doulos was charging me monthly for the storage, and I'm paying the storage monthly. And then come January of 2019, he had not been there from maybe April to January of 19, I find out that the storage pods are the company's calling me saying, where's the money? We haven't been paid. How come we haven't been paid? And I had been paying Doulos. So I contacted him.
Oh, boy.
Said, why haven't you paid? Ah, don't worry about it. I said, don't worry about it. Wait a minute. My name's on it, okay? I pay my bills.
My stuff's in there.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
it comes to me over here.
I wasn't really concerned about the stuff, other than the insurance company would have made a big deal out of it if it was gone. But I was more worried about, you got a company that did a service, and I've been paying you. You were to pay them, and you stiffed them. What are you doing? And he actually made a mistake. He hung up on me. Not something you do.
Okay.
Oh.
So we're not going to hang up either.
That puts me in a bad spot now.
So I contacted the pod company, and I paid them directly.
Oh, wow.
So the stuff didn't get destroyed.
All right. I'm not going to hang up on you, but I'm going to ask you to hold on, because I'm really glued to this, and I want to hear how this unfolds.
Yeah, no problem.
And we just got to get a song in here. Chaz and AJ in the morning. 99.1 PLR, David Ford, current owner of the house in Avon, and the police were just searching for Jennifer Doulos on Thursday.
Yeah.
Wow, what an amazing story.
Incredible.
So 2010, Fotis and Jennifer lived there. They were renting. And then David bought the house and met them briefly as they were leaving. He was going in. 2015, he met Doulos again. Doulos gave him a ride. 2018, the water pipes break in the Avon house, and he has Fotis's company come and do the work. And then they're storing stuff outside the front of the house in these giant containers. And David is paying Fotis. Fotis is not paying the container people.
Right.
This becomes a whole deal. The relationship starts to crack. Fotis hangs up on David.
Bad move.
So David just pays these things out. So that's where we are now, David.
Correct. Now, let me clarify one thing. So the demolition work in the inside of the house is done January, February, and March. Then it comes time to remove the subfloors that the insurance company said, yeah, they're destroyed, they have to go. We can reconfirm that the insurance company agrees they have to, that's still their position that they have to go, and they say yes. Now we go in the process of how we're going to remove the subfloors. As it turned out, every wall is built on a subfloor, so in order to get rid of the subfloors, every wall has to come down. If every wall has to come down, the entire house has to come down. At that point, the insurance company said, no, the subfloors are fine. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them.
No, we're good. Yeah, no.
Did I say they had to come out?
We were kidding. It's a
what
joke.
What I meant was.
I meant we just cut around the walls and pull them out from
right.
there.
Right.
Yeah,
that whole thing.
We didn't really mean they needed to come out. You know, they just needed to come out. So I'm dealing with that now from April of 2018 to the present, by the way. So in any event, Doulos doesn't pay for the storage things. I do. He hangs up on me, and from now on, anytime he calls me, because you have to understand the insurance company still owed him some money, so now he was going to start calling me. Anytime he called me after that, I would answer the phone. I said, hey, is this the guy that hung up on me? Hi, this is Fotis. Click.
Nice.
Yeah.
Click.
There
so
you go.
When he gets arrested, he had his lawyer call me up. Hey, we're starting a bail fund to release Fotis. Would you contribute? I said, I have two messages for Fotis. Number one, if he did what he's accused of, he's right where he belongs, number one. And number two, Mr. Attorney, you got this? I want to make sure you understand this. Ready? Click.
Yeah.
So
I love that gag.
So the wife goes Ms. Dulos goes missing.
Yeah,
about a year and a half after the last time I have any contact with Dulos is. And I get a call from the state police. I didn't get a call. My son was playing basketball on the basketball court. The state crimes unit or whoever came up and gave him a card, said, can you have your dad call me? So my son calls me up, says, what's going on? He sends me this card. I call the police. I say, we're investigating the Dulos. Actually, they just said, we want to come look at your property. I said, no. That's like saying the IRS wants to come, you know, look at your books. Well, no. Why?
Yeah.
Why? So they say, oh, okay, it's about the Dulos case. I said, go ahead, anytime you want. Well, would you agree to a search order? I said, if you need that, sure I would, but I don't know if you need it. I'm just telling you, go anytime you want. I don't live there. It's not a big deal. It's not an inconvenience to me. Go there. Do whatever you do, however you need to do it. And they said, oh, that's great. So they went up there, and they did whatever they did.
Was this the house that somebody's neighbor said they heard metal banging the night that she disappeared?
No.
Okay,
no.
Gotcha.
No, that's a different house. I think that was down in either New Canaan or perhaps Mountain Springs or Jefferson Crossing.
Okay, all right.
So now you have a situation where the police have looked at the property, and I don't hear anything about it other than what you hear for an entire year. 2 days before the one-year anniversary, which was sometime in the end of this May, I got a call from a Hartford Current reporter out of the blue. Said, I've looked at all the building permits that Fotis Dulos pulled for 2 years prior to his wife going missing. And the police applied for search warrants on every one of them but your house. And your house wasn't searched. She must be there. And this guy thought he found the golden Oompa Loompa ticket.
Right, yeah.
So I said, well, I hate to wreck your story here, but you're wrong. They searched. They didn't get a search warrant. They did get a search warrant. I said, they didn't need one because I told them they could go whenever they wanted.
Hmm.
So you could hear him deflate.
Yeah, actually heard the one. Wah, wah, wah.
So the next morning I wake up and I got texts from reporters all over the universe asking me this, asking me that. I say to myself, I better get up to that house and lock the gates because who knows who's going to go up there. I go up to lock the gates and I'm in my T-shirt, my jeans, and I'm going to work out in the gym while I'm going up there. And not in my driveway, not in the cul-de-sac before the driveway. The driveway is about 1,000 feet long. In the driveway, right in front of my house, on my lawn, all over the place are news trucks.
Huh.
So I say, okay. And now I'm annoyed, right, because that's annoying. But I say to myself, okay, these guys have a job to do. I say, guys, what is it you need me to do? Well, can you answer some questions? I said, I can answer questions if you all get together at once. Hmm. And you all ask him at once, so that's I only good. Have to do it once, because I don't want to do this 100 times.
Yeah. Right. Okay, smart.
So one blanket statement.
They said, you'll do that? I said, sure. So they set up their microphones, they get all their cameras, and they got all these drones and everything else, helicopters overhead, and they asked me the same thing the Hartford Current reporter asked me, and I said, I told them they could search it anytime they wanted to a year ago. Did they? I said, to my understanding, they did. Well, have you heard anything from them? Oh, I forgot to add this. When the Hartford Current guy called me, after I hung up with him, I called the state police people, and I told them what this guy had said, just to give them a heads up. So they asked me if I would have any problem with them searching it again. I said, no, you come anytime you want. Do whatever you need to do whenever you need to do it.
So you don't think there was any new evidence that they found? You think that this was based off of Hartford Current said something, and they just thought, let's go back?
Yeah, in my opinion, this is based on checking the boxes because the last place Fotis Dulos would go would be my house because he knew if I ever showed up. I mean, what are you doing here?
Exactly, right.
Right.
You know, you get out of here and take the body with you. And by the way, I'm calling the state police and I'm going to tell them what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He's avoiding the plague. Yeah.
I got you.
I'm not a confidant of Fotis Doulos by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So
and that
he
wasn't
wouldn't have done that.
After the relationship fell apart, so he would not feel comfortable on that property. That's not a place he can go. And if someone saw him there, it would make sense that he was there.
Correct. It could have been an excuse. Hey, Dave, I have somebody that may want to buy the house, and you know, I wanted to look at a couple things to make sure it was okay. I'd be like, you'd be the last guy I'd allow in my house. At that,
yeah.
If you hang up on me, you're done. I'm a South Boston kid. A couple things you don't do. One is hang up.
Right. And two is number one.
Yeah. So
you don't hang up on me, or you don't spit in the guy's face. Those are things you just don't do.
There are some rules.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Rules is rules.
So that's what happens, and the reporters go away the first time. 2 days later, 3 days, whenever it was, the anniversary of her going missing, I go up to my house to work out again, and I have all these glassy-eyed love people walking around my property. And I said, what are you doing here? We came here to remember Jennifer Doulos. She used to live here. She lived here in... It's about her three kids. I said, well, obviously you don't know her that well because she has five, but how much time do you need to spend remembering Jennifer Doulos, a person you've never met, by the way, and have no idea? How long do you need? Can we have 10 minutes? I said, tell you what, take 30 minutes. Go walk around, get it out of your system, do whatever you need to do, and when I come out of the gym, then you guys can move on your way. Oh, thank you so much. So 30 minutes later, I come out and they say, thank you. Oh, we feel so much better. It's like, that's great. Just can you get out of here now? So they leave.
Yeah, like the gate, man.
Glassy-eyed love people. I've never heard that before, but I'll use it all the time.
Yeah, I got a bigger gate.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So they leave. And then a couple days later, I go to work out. And what happens? What do I see then? In the windows, someone had broken inside the house and spray-painted J for J with hearts, justice for Jennifer, on the inside of the house.
Oh, really?
Which I can't blame them because I don't know, and I'm not going to convict somebody based on something I don't know, but it's just annoying that, okay, now
why would you do that?
Now I have to pay somebody to go up there, even though the house is coming down, and even though I don't want that stuff up there.
I
don't want
you.
It to look like a bad place, so I had to pay somebody to go up and remove. It's just annoying. And there's not a day, even yesterday, I go up there. Actually, I was golfing, and a neighbor said, look, there's cars pulling down your driveway. I get
this
up, of course, I run up there, and it's people. We just wanted to see it. It's like, what is it, a circus?
Seriously.
Yeah,
a money pit.
And nothing happened there.
Exactly.
They
nothing
lived there
happened.
Once.
Right.
Yeah.
They, you know, people were like, not people, but the Hartford Current, oh, we think she's in the septic system. I said, well, go look. If you want to go look in 4,000 gallons of my you-know-what, have fun.
Right.
Go ahead.
So the police
had to come. When they did come and did the search, what was it, was it Monday or Tuesday? They came, they called me, say, David, can we come up and look at the house? I said, guys, I told you, anytime. Bring whatever you want. Can we bring dogs? Bring lions. Bring up lions. Who you bring
an elephant.
Funny if they did. Those glassy-eyed love people wouldn't like that.
Well, most people wouldn't allow the people in their house. Cops in their house.
But you've been great through this whole thing, and it just doesn't sound like your house adds up for what they're looking for. But, again, they have to check the boxes.
Exactly.
But they have to check the boxes.
Yeah, I was talking to David when the song was playing, AJ. He's got an amazing story where he came from and how he got to where he is now. So we want to have you back to talk about that. And I got to go hit a break here. But we appreciate you coming on and sharing that stuff with us.
No problem at all. Yeah, interestingly enough, my house has no more connection to Fotis Doulos than it does O.J. Simpson. There's just no connection.
Except O.J. didn't live there.
Exactly right. So now, we got to check.
Right.
Maybe Nicole's there. Who knows?
Yeah. All right,
not
David.
To make light of a situation, but it's about the kids. You know that.
Yeah.
It's about the kids. Now you got five kids that are orphaned because two parents couldn't prevent themselves from putting the kids right in the middle of a divorce, and that's really...
Well, I feel like he's the one that made all of the mistakes here, right?
No, you're wrong. You'd be wrong on that assumption, because she alienated, did everything she could to take their father away from those kids to start.
Mm. Maybe there was a reason for that, saying how he's a murderer and all. Maybe she saw that in him.
I'm sure that anybody can. You can always look back and say that. But at the end of the day, kids want to see their dad, and kids want to see their mom.
Yeah.
And
it's definitely not a reason to kill someone, though.
No.
No,
yeah.
Of course not. No, yeah. My God, no. No, yeah. No, no. But what I'm saying is you take kids that are orphaned, not orphaned, but adopted, even though they've never met their biological parent, they have this internal need to see that parent, right? So kids want to see their dad, and she was preventing the kids from seeing the dad for whatever reason. She may have been justified. What do I know?
Right.
But she had, and at the end of the day, the kids now no longer had a dad, and then she goes missing. Now they no longer have a mom, and then he kills himself, and now they definitely no longer have a dad. And who's the big losers here? Sadly, it's five kids that are orphaned who did nothing to deserve any of it.
Right.
That's what breaks my heart.
Yeah, it is sad.
You know, parents can suffer the consequences of their own stupidity, but kids shouldn't suffer the consequence of parents' stupidity.
Unfortunately, they do.
Yep.
So, sure. That's another segment, folks, if you want that.
Yeah, no, we want to have you back on to talk about your life story. I feel like that's a book or a movie. David Ford, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. You too.
Jazz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Massive fire at an abandoned factory in Shelton over the weekend. Did you see any of the images?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Wow.
Insane.
You know, a friend of mine on Facebook actually saw it from Long Island. They took a picture from their boat and said, what's going on over in Connecticut?
They saw the smoke.
They saw the smoke, yeah.
On the phone right now is the Deputy Chief, Paul Wilson, Shelton Fire Department. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Hello, thanks for what you do.
Yes.
What happened?
Yeah. It was a crazy scene, you know. It's definitely a record fire as far as, you know, the volume of fire and the amount of assistance that we had to, you know, to extinguish the fire and make everything work.
Well, it doesn't beat B.F. Goodrich in the 70s.
No.
That's your record
fire.
That
was a little bit different scale. You're right there. Not too far from that location, though.
Really?
Right.
It's a bad area.
Right along the river.
Fires.
Exactly.
So what's the deal? Four-story building? How big was that? It looked like a city block.
Looked huge.
It was a huge building. The building was actually, it was built in, the construction started in like 1875 for Star Pin Company, which was, you know, they specialized in making pins and the first bobby pin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, you know. And then, you know, obviously as the company grew, they added on to the building. So as of right now, as of last week, there was about 118,000 square foot of workspace that was in that building.
And was it occupied at the time of the fire?
No, it was not occupied. You know, it was owned by the city. It was not occupied at the time.
Oh, is that a brown site? Like they can't do anything with it because of the amount of money it cost to get the whatever out?
Yeah, there was, you know, there was some discussion on, you know, cleaning out the building. And as you may or may not know, there's been a lot of downtown revitalization. They're taking a lot of the old mills and creating them into apartment
lofts,
buildings.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
I went down there yesterday to look, and I was not the only one. It was like a parade. You know, everyone's coming out. Because you don't see something like this.
Exactly.
It was still smoldering.
Plus, I'm sure you knew the building growing up around there, right, Chaz?
The first thing I thought when I saw it is, oh, room for more apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, and apartments that they are, you know, converting from the old mill buildings are really nice. You know, it's got a lot of character and whatnot.
So, Chief, let's talk about this fire. So the call comes in, and do you know immediately you got a situation, or do you pull up and say, oh, we need more trucks?
Yeah, right on dispatch, it came in as multiple 911 calls reporting a heavily involved building fire on Canal Street. So, you know, and you can hear it in the dispatcher's voice, you know, that this wasn't, you know, your routine fire alarm or, you know, a one line, you know.
Where were you
fire.
At the time? What time did the call come in?
Honestly, I was working overtime at my full-time firehouse, so I wasn't even there.
But
there was guys. There was guys right at the firehouse, which is
there's always someone at Echo Hose.
Yep,
that place is never empty. All right, so the call comes in. You guys go. So it. No one calls 911 until this thing is like just heavily just fire
engaged,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. So no one really sees it until then.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know, because literally the guys got off the couch and, you know, they looked out the window and, you know, there was a pretty impressive black header coming up over, you know, the Howe Avenue
that's
building.
That's what it's called, a black header.
Why did it burn so quickly and so hot all of a sudden?
Well, that's what I thought, too. It looked like it was a stick frame building, but it's a brick building with cement and steel inside. How did it burn that fast?
You know, the buildings that were burnt, that were built, you know, in that era, it's all heavy timber. So, I mean, it's all
they were meant to last.
Like, you know,
heavy timber.
Exactly.
And, so not steel beams.
Kerosene. Okay.
Yeah, there was steel in the building. Not nearly as much as what you see in the commercial buildings used today. But, you know, the wood that was used back then was soaked in kerosene to, you know, for longevity.
Oh.
And, you know,
or
seems like a good idea.
Or make it burn real bright.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, it worked for many, many years. I mean, you know, walking around the building, you know, we still have crews there as we speak.
What about asbestos? You guys got to wear special stuff to fight that? Or, like, the smoke, is the smoke dangerous?
Of course, you know, and guys are, you know, wearing their self-contained breathing apparatus, and, you know, your normal PPE, your structural turnout gear is okay for, the fire ground efforts. You know, we are recommending, and the mayor put out an announcement yesterday that, you know, if any of the residents find any debris in their yard, to call the police department, and Deep will come out and monitor it and remove the product from their property.
Deputy Chief Paul Wilson, Shelton Fire Department. I'm talking about a massive building fire over the weekend. How long did the thing burn? And I saw that you guys had it out, then it came back. It's like, I'm not done yet.
Part two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult when you start getting collapse of that nature. You know, some of the floors are pancaking down, and, you know, you get pockets of fire, and, you know, then once it gets its airflow, it just takes off a little bit, and, you know, just trying to keep ahead of it and keep moving water onto the pockets. And it's going to be difficult, you know, and right now there's still some pockets. I was there till just after midnight this morning, and, you know, still chasing some pretty good hot spots. And, you know, they're going to start disassembling the building this morning. So, you know, we'll find some more and put them out and work with the demolition company and try and keep everything as safe as possible for the residents and the guys that are going to be down working at the site.
And then when does the arson crew come in to take a look at how it started?
You know, the fire marshal's...
fire marshal first, then if he sees something weird, then arson people?
Then he calls him in.
Yeah, he's got his procedures he's got to follow with the state, and, you know, I'm sure that he's following them, you know, and keeping on top of it. I'm sure there's been some people that have been interviewed, and, you know, our main priority is to keep everybody safe and, you know, get this fire out as quick as possible.
Yeah, that was bananas. So the water now, the Housatonic River, any of that water, like, don't...
Precautions were taken. We went out, we have a couple of different marine vessels that we had out there, and we were putting booms out around the building for any potential runoff.
Wow.
You guys with straws,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the big diapers that we threw out in the Housatonic River. And we were working.
Depends, man. It works. If it takes care of grandma, I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
Multi-purpose.
Yep.
You never know.
Exactly.
So,
do you guys get like a temperature gauge out? Like, you know, you put the meat thermometer.
Yeah.
Do you have something like, hey, let's stick this in the fire, see how hot it is.
Right.
Like, do you know how hot that was burning?
I don't know, you know, definitively. I mean, it was, you know, I mean, you guys saw the pictures. I mean, that thing was going
nuts.
Yeah.
Just picture four floors, probably 20 windows.
Like a roaring fireplace.
On each floor.
Yeah.
And there's just...
belching fire everywhere.
Every window's just full of flames.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yep.
Yeah, it was, I mean, you know, like you said, Chaz, as you were saying, that somebody sent you pictures from Long Island. I saw the same pictures, got some buddies that are farming down there, and, you know, they're like, what are you guys doing up there? And, you know, it was definitely impressive. You saw some historic pictures there.
Yeah, 150 firefighters battling for 12 hours. So do you have every Shelton Fire Department there, or do you have White Hills, Pine Rock?
Yep, Huntington. All four companies were down there. We also had the Derby Fire Department, which is very, very close. They actually, believe it or not, they got a call for a smoke investigation directly across the Housatonic from where the fire was. So, you know, they were already on the road before we got called. And as soon as they pulled out of their building, they're like, well, no, that's in Shelton.
Yeah, let's go over and see the Shelton boys.
Yeah, so they got there really, really quick, which we already have a downtown protocol for any fires on the Canal Street and Howell Avenue area that they automatically come in. We work very well with them. And, you know, they're a good.
You got it if you want to go to that porchetta dinner.
Exactly right. That's important. That's key.
The pluggies, absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, wow, great job. No one injured?
No, very fortunate. Nobody was injured. No firemen, no civilians. You know, again, we had the 150 members there. And
it's
we
a
also.
It's a lot to organize.
It is.
Yeah, and, you know, you have a pretty stringent incident command system that you need to set up and get logistics. And, you know,
where do you get all that water from? So, do you pump that water from the river or the canals, or where do you get the water from? It's a lot of water.
Yeah, we were working with Aquarian, and we've moved. I actually spoke with the gentleman last night. We've moved about 6 million gallons of water in that fire.
Wow,
6 million gallons of water.
That's a lot of water.
That's a lot of pools.
Yep. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Damn. Now, wait. So we're working with a company that's bringing the tanker trucks. Do we have to pay for that?
No. They weren't bringing water in. We were just, you know, working on making sure that we had adequate pressure within the hydrants. You know, when you're starting a volume of water like that, it's not just, you know, open the hydrant and, you know, have that.
Crank it up on full.
Exactly.
That'd be some bill.
Need to make sure that, you know, their customers also have water. You've got a lot of showers need to be taken this morning down there, you know.
Everybody had a cold shower. Oh,
that's right. Wow,
yeah, exactly. That's a lot of water. Exactly.
And then, Chief, will they look to see if there were any homeless people in that? Or do they kind of sift through the bottom there gingerly to see if there was, you know.
I was talking with the demolition company that got the job last night, and they're going to go through the debris as gingerly as possible. You know, although, and anybody will tell you this, you know, a vacant building is not always necessarily a vacant building.
Right.
Yeah. Squatters.
But again, you know, with the volume of fire that that the crews had upon arrival, I mean, you know, there's a you know, go don't go scenario, and you know, risk versus reward. And you know, you're not making entry in a building that's, you know, pushing fire out of every single window like that.
No. All right. So, hey, nice job to all the men and women who fought that fire in Shelton over the weekend. Holy cow.
Yep.
Deputy Chief Paul Wilson, Shelton Fire Department. Thanks for coming on.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You too. Keep in mind, all these volunteer fire departments, they usually do that boot thing where you're driving down the road and then you...
Right.
They haven't been able to do that this year. So if you could help them in any way, if you're driving by... Stop by, throw them a 10 or a 5 or whatever you can afford.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, remember we were talking. I'm choking.
You all right there? So you doing good?
I'm choking.
Choking at chocolate.
Remember Friday we were talking to Mitch Halleck about PS5, and we only had a little bit of time with him.
Yes.
Mitch Halleck, King of the Nerds.
He's back.
Terrificon. GamerCon. Back on to tell us PS5 for Dummies.
PS5 for Dummies is basically this. It is the most sophisticated gaming console ever devised by mankind, and it's got the price tag to prove it. That's the big, that's the big hubbub out there. Everyone's like, oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it really is. When you see this thing, the design of it, it looks like something from Star Wars, like a stormtrooper. It's all white and curvy and sleek.
Want to be alone with it or what?
Hey.
Yeah. I'm thinking about that. But seriously, I mean, they went out of their way to make something that looks like a piece of art. It looks like something you'd see in a museum.
Nice.
Like, you
that's
know,
cool.
Futuristic. Yeah, but the thing of it is, that's not cheap.
No.
And when the president of the company keeps emphasizing that they're selling quality and value, and he doesn't want to address the price, that always gives me that weird feeling like, man, this is going to be like, you got to mortgage the house for this.
Yeah, so the position is going to be deep.
Wait,
yep.
How much is it?
They haven't told you.
Oh.
That's the thing.
What would you guesstimate? Oh, because I thought Friday.
500 to 600.
Okay.
Well, that's what everyone said.
Yeah. You said that Friday.
That's not terrible.
500's not a lot.
No, it's not terrible.
For this?
No, I know. But we're assuming it's 500 based on previous machines. But when he started saying that about, oh, it's all about value, then you start to wonder, well, is it going to be 500?
Yeah, where's this thing going?
Yep. You know? Exactly.
So would you say 500 is acceptable?
Yeah, I mean, they're giving you a heads up. It's coming out at Christmas. It's coming out at November. So they're saying, you know, save your nickels and dimes now because every kid's going to want to have this and every adult too. But the funnier thing is Microsoft, their Xbox product comes out the same time, their competitor, and they're already saying no matter what, we're going to be $100 cheaper. So they don't even know the price, but they're already going to undercut them by $100. So don't run out and buy it the first day. I know everybody wants to have what's new and great the second it comes out, but you know they're going to have like a price war.
Yep, wait for it.
Yeah, so if you just wait even 2-3 weeks, you'll see the price come down probably $100. So that's $100 you can use towards, I was going to say towards food and gas, but hey, that's, you know, gas is like a dollar nowadays, so who cares?
Game systems to a gamer is you have to have it. There's no
question.
There's no debate. Should I get it? It's you have to have it.
I must possess this.
So all things were equal and Xbox and PS5 were the same price, who wins that fight?
The same price? PS5 all day.
Yeah.
Really? Mm.
Because you know what they're doing? They're taking their time, and when they come out to market, they're going to have a whole library of new games, like 20 new games to choose from, because that's the problem with these guys. They're so secretive about the workings of the machine that the folks that develop the games don't get access to the technology right away. So you can't build a game if you don't know how smart the machine is that's going to run it, is capable of. So you'll come out with a product and find out, oh, we could have made it more, you know, visually.
This or that. Yeah.
But we didn't know because they won't let you know what the guts are. So that's the whole thing about this. But PlayStation's being a little bit more accessible. So they're letting developers come out with a whole catalog of games. So when it hits the market on November, I think 11th it is, you're going to be able to choose from 20 different games, where Xbox is like, well, we might have one or two amazing things, but the rest will follow in the next 5 or 6 months.
Gotcha. And these games come inside the machine already?
No. Nothing comes inside these things.
Yeah, buy them.
PlayStation is going to offer the new Spider-Man game because that's one of the biggest selling properties they ever had. Sony owns the Spider-Man movie franchise. So they have a new Spider-Man game that looks amazing. So when it comes out, you'll probably buy it with that game. They'll give you the option. They'll say, do you want to buy it with this game or do you want to buy it with that game? So when you go home, you actually have something to play all day. Where a lot of the other games just come out with the unit and you're on your own. So.
And you just download the game, but then you have to rent it? Or is it your game?
No. You buy it, you own it. And that's the other thing. They're coming out with two versions. I mentioned that Friday. One has a disc drive, so you can put a disc in it like, you know, we always have, like CD, DVD, Blu-rays, old school. But if you want to go cheaper, you can get the digital one that doesn't have that drive in it, and that'll be about $100 cheaper. So if you are looking to save money, get the digital one, because all the kids nowadays, nobody buys CDs or DVDs anymore. It's all download stuff, you know, like your iPhone.
Right.
So that's the thinking behind it.
Mitch Halleck is on King of the Nerds. We're talking about the new PS5 and now a new Xbox all around the same time. And what is that? Are you inside a bird?
I thought that was just me.
No.
I'm like, I hear those words again.
No.
There's been a bird on the floor.
I'm outside, man. We're all home
now. Are you jogging?
You know?
Wearing pants?
So
I actually have pants on. Here, I'm going to walk away.
Just check
the garbage.
$500 to $600 is not a lot when you think about an iPhone.
No, iPhones are $1,000 now. I just read Apple is going to go for the Apple iPhone 12 soon.
Oh, good.
And that's going to be over $1,100 when it hits the street.
Wow.
Yep. I just bought
mine. Everybody will have it. You know, that's the funnier thing. You sit there and you go, remember when like buying a $100 pair of sneakers was insane in the 80s? You're like, what?
Right.
Reeboks are $100 for sneakers? Now you see kids that are like 16 walking around with $1,200 phones. And you're like,
wish they lose or break. Yep.
Once they lose or break in 10 minutes,
Not a lot. I think.
I don't know, man.
But there's
a sliding scale.
What's the shelf life of this? When was PS4 rolled out?
Oh, it'll last a good 10 years because PS4 was about 10 years ago already.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
That's the thing, too. Sony sells it as a home entertainment. They're not just selling it as a gaming system because it has a built-in Blu-ray player, a 4K Blu-ray player. So if you do get the one with the disc drive, you're also getting a 4K player. if you're buying discs. And it's got a sound system that's like second to none because it's Sony, so they know how to make music and speakers and all that. So they're playing it up the fact that you can get an incredible sound system as well, where Microsoft just says, now it's a gaming machine. What do you want from us, you know?
So
that's the difference between the two. You're buying an entertainment system.
Right, and you could do almost everything with a PS5 except for make a phone call, right?
Right.
No, you could do that now.
Really?
You could run your Bluetooth and everything. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Wow. Can it make me a grilled cheese sandwich?
No, but the phone call's not a phone call. It's a it's like a video conference, right?
Oh, like FaceTime?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, everything's FaceTime. Yeah, every kid in the world, they've grown up with this stuff nowadays with headsets and FaceTime.
But you can't take the PS5 and then call a phone number.
Or a pizza.
Can you?
Yeah, you could do that. You can convert your PS5 to take phone. You could do that now with the PS4. You could do that pretty much with anything. Why, you want to make video calls?
I'm just thinking, if an iPhone's $1,100, I mean, the only difference is you can't carry a PS5 around with you.
No.
Nor would you want to, but that thing does more. So you can argue that the price is, you know, it is about the value.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is an entertainment system.
Well, here's the other thing is, what parent wants to be the parent that doesn't get their kid this thing and have to deal with the guilt?
My dad had no problem with that. My dad made it easy.
Everybody has one, Mom.
Everybody has it. Yeah, can I go to Billy's house? Why? Because his parents love him.
My dad had four words. You don't need it.
Well, the thing about that system is it keeps the kids home.
Yep.
And that's what parents want. They like their kids to be around.
Yeah, but now you want them to actually get up and do something. So, like cut the lawn or, you know, change tires in the car or something.
Yeah.
You know, useful stuff.
I got to tell you, as somebody who has two sons and this virus has kept everybody home for the last 4 months, I don't know what would have happened if they didn't have their computer games for the last 4 months in those rooms. You know, what they would have done with their free time.
I don't know. They probably would have went outside and did stuff in the yard.
Yeah, if you could go outside.
You can go outside. Your yard's fine.
You go outside in your yard. Yeah, the yard's fine. Yeah.
This is AJ's conversation about PS5. Go outside.
Go outside.
Don't change tires.
Yeah. I told you about that new game that's coming out that's a stray cat, that you pretend you're a cat walking through, like, the future.
Oh, yeah. Kitty City, right?
Kitty City.
Right, Kitty City.
Right. So I was telling my son that, and he goes, that sounds awesome. And I'm like, wow. He's 20 years old, and he can't wait to play as a cat walking around some future world.
He sleeps all day
that
already.
That game
so good.
Sounds
That's
excellent.
True.
And I, you know, the real artists and, you know, they probably would have been movie makers if not for these games.
Yep.
You know, it's really something, the storylines and the things and the curveballs you get going through these games. Mitch, we have someone on the phone who may have some information on the PS5.
Intel. Here we go.
Yeah.
Can we droid?
It's Microsoft. It's Bill Gates.
John in West Haven.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, I was listening to a conversation. I just looked it up real quick on eBay. You can pre-order the PS5 with the disk drive for $1,399.
$1,400
Nice.
Wow.
That seems like it's from a scalper.
Pricey.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It is eBay, so somebody's going to get it, and then, of course, resell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're it's pre-ordering. Not 14. This is someone who's going to get a shipment of them and then make a ton of money. Because he'll
that's
be the
what
only
it sounds
one
like, yeah.
They're guaranteeing you get one, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So, all right. Thank you, John. Thanks for looking at it.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, appreciate it. Mitch, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Mitch Halleck, King of the Nerds, Terrificon, and GamerCon.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates. so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.